Hello, everybody. It's Mr. Tall 23 back there with video. That's weird. The time thing isn't working. Okay, there we go. So I'm just going to do a quick sound check first. All right, so the sound is working. Anyway, I already did a video today, a pre-recorded video in my Basic Doctrines of the Bible series that I already uploaded previously. But I wanted to do this video yesterday. I couldn't get around to it. I'm not going to exactly go into why until the end of this video, because I just want to focus on the subject right now. So I'll discuss that towards the end of this video. But anyway, just getting into the subject of the video, today I want to talk about the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. A verse in the scriptures, which I personally really like, is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, which says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Now, I really love this verse. I used it as my senior quote in my high school yearbook, and I ponder about it. I think about it a lot because it really summarizes a very important point of the Bible itself, and that is that the world, the whole world that we live in, everything that we do is under the authority of the Lord, that everything is about him. And I'm going to be making another video sometime in the near future also discussing this verse, particularly the statement, "This is the whole duty of man," and comparing it with the topics in the rest of the book of Ecclesiastes. But in this video, I want to focus on the statement that is in that verse that just says, "Fear God." Now, in the world we live in, we should not fear man. We should not fear the world. We should not fear the devil. We should not fear animals. We should not fear natural events or whatever. We should only fear the Lord, the Almighty God alone. And there's good reason to do so. And I think some Christians have gotten away from this concept of fearing God, which is spoken of throughout the whole Bible, fearing God, fearing the Lord, and it really damages the perception of who the Lord is. Why is it that we should fear him? Isn't he just all mercy, all kindness? Isn't he just the old man upstairs, as some people call him? Well, no, he's a holy and just and perfect and almighty God. He created the heavens and the earth. He's so much higher and exalted in every way when compared to humanity. So why is it that we should fear the Lord? Well, understand, first of all, I'm mainly speaking to carnal Christians, to those who have been saved but who have not really grown much in the Lord, who have not really grown much in the faith, have not really learned their Bibles or anything like that, as well as to the unsaved as well, people who have not been born again, who don't treat the God of the Bible as they should. Now, the plain answer to the question of why we should fear him is because, obviously, he commanded us to do so in Ecclesiastes 12:13, which is one example. And there's another example, which I'm going to read later, I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He said, "Fear God and keep his commandments." So first of all, if we're going to serve the Lord, we need to fear him. But there's more to it than that. I'm going to answer the question from two other perspectives. Now, firstly, why we should fear him in the sense of how is it a blessing? What can somebody get from fearing God, and what does somebody lose when they don't fear God? Then secondly, I want to talk about why we should fear God in the sense of what qualities or aspects about him, about the Lord, make us as humans afraid of him. What is it exactly makes the Lord so terrifying? Well, firstly, the scriptures say, Psalm 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." And then Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So in the scriptures twice, it makes clear that the fear of the Lord itself brings knowledge and wisdom. In fact, it says it's the beginning of such. Somebody who claims to be wise, yet who does not fear the Lord, is dead wrong. They're not wise. They don't know anything. Firstly, because it's just a foolish thing not to fear the Lord, as we will see in this video. And second, because acknowledging the holiness and the authority and the absolute truth of God helps us to learn from his word, wherein is contained wisdom. I believe that the scriptures have all answers for wisdom and understanding. As it says here in Psalm 111, "A good understanding have all they that do his commandments." So somebody who does not both hear the word and do the word, as it says that we should do in James 1, not just be hearers of the word, but doers as well, people who do not do the word are not wise according to the scriptures. But when we choose to follow God as Christians, to obey him, we are blessed with wisdom and understanding. So the fear of the Lord brings wisdom and understanding. Another thing that the fear of the Lord is said to do is keep us from death. As it says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And then Proverbs 14, 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Now, of course, this is mainly speaking about our earthly lives and not our salvation, not the lives of our spirit or eternal life. For in Proverbs 10, it speaks about the days of our life being prolonged or shortened. So when we fear the Lord, not only do we have wisdom and knowledge and understanding, but also if we continue to fear the Lord, our days will be prolonged. We will be blessed with a long life. Those, however, who decide to look at God in the wrong way, who do not fear him, their lives will be shortened. Now, this does have application in a way for those who are not saved, since we will see shortly that all people of this world are called to fear God in the Bible, whether they're a Christian or not. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Obviously, when somebody hears the gospel and understands that they are guilty and condemned before God as a result of their sin, and that they're on their way to hell, they ought to fear God. And through that, they get saved. So in a sense, the days of our spirit are prolonged everlastingly as a result from the fear of the Lord, when we understand that we're going to hell, and so we trust in Jesus Christ to save us. But going back to the subject of Proverbs and our lives upon this earth, notice in Proverbs 10:27, it contrasts the fear of the Lord with the wicked, because it says the years of the wicked shall be shortened. What fearing God is often associated with as Christians is whether or not we obey him and depart from iniquity. It's associated with keeping the commandments of God. And we already saw that in Ecclesiastes 12:13, that it says, fear God and keep his commandments. They're grouped together because if we truly fear the Lord as Christians, we're going to do what he says. Either believe in his son for salvation if we're not saved, or clean up our lives after we are born again. I mean, if we understand as Christians that it is fearful to fall into the hands of the living God, as it says in Hebrews 10:31, if we understand that there will be chastening from the Lord to those which willfully sin against him, as promised in that same chapter and also in Hebrews chapter 12, we would ourselves in fear of the Lord obey him. Therefore, it is written in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5-7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And then Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Here it is very clearly stated that what the fear of the Lord is. It is to hate evil and to depart from it, to depart from iniquity, to trust in him and allow him to direct your paths. And that makes perfect sense because, again, if you really fear God and understand that he is holy and all-powerful and will reward the wicked with judgment and chastise his children who disobey him, then you ought to fear him and then depart from wickedness. Therefore, the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So why is it that a Christian man would depart from evil after being born again? Why do we start serving God? By the fear of the Lord. Now, there's another thing besides that which develops as we grow as Christians, which I will talk about towards the end of this video. There's a certain scripture, 1 John chapter 4, which I want to talk about later in this video. But right now, I just want to focus on the subject of departing from evil by the fear of the Lord. Again, it says in the book of Job, Job 28, verse 28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So again, if you fear the Lord, you have wisdom and understanding and depart from evil. Through the fear of God, we obey him, we serve him. The Bible says in Psalm 2:11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. The scriptures tell us exactly how is it that we are to serve God, with fear and trembling. Trembling would be shaking in fear. So just in case it's not clear what the word fear means, because I know some people like to twist the definition, but here the picture is painted of what fear of God is like. This is the manner in which somebody is to serve God. We ought to not take him flippantly and to think of him lower than he actually is. For his ways are higher than all, according to the Bible. The Bible calls him the Almighty. The Bible calls him omnipotent, okay? The Bible describes him in the following manner, showing us why we ought to fear and tremble before him. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." So the Lord is described as a great God, a mighty and a terrible. Now, usually in this day and age, we use the word terrible to refer to something that is bad or awful. But the word terrible, as used in the scriptures, is basically just a synonym for the word terrifying, meaning he strikes terror into man and ought to be feared. This is what the scriptures teach us of what we should think of the Lord. Remember, Jesus Christ is not just the Lamb of God, but he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Bible says he's merciful and slow to anger, but it also says that he will not at all acquit the wicked in Nahum chapter 1, verse 3. It says that he's slow to anger, but it doesn't say that he doesn't have anger at all. Of course, the Bible often speaks about the wrath of God. When people reject the gospel and spit in the face of God and turn against him, they will be consumed in his wrath. Again, the scriptures say in Psalm 47, verse 2, "For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is great king over all the earth." Now, these are just a few verses which state the terribleness, meaning how terrifying and frightening the power of God is. But notice also the latter end of the verse here, Psalm 47, verse 2, where it says he is a great king over all the earth. Of course, we know that the Bible declares God as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And even as it said in Deuteronomy chapter 10, it calls him the God of gods. So no matter who it is in the universe, whether they be called gods or called lords or called kings or rulers or dominions or principalities or whatever it is, the Lord is over all of them, even whether they know it or not. See, there's some who do not fear God, especially the unsaved, especially the heathen, but they definitely should. All people, regardless of who they are, should fear God. And let me explain why. In the second sense now, not just what it does for us, what blessings it would cause for us, but what qualities about the Lord make man fear him. Because if they knew the power of God, if they knew what he could and would do to them, except they are saved through his son, Jesus Christ, they would fear him. Therefore, the Bible declares in Psalm 33, verse 8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Remember, going back to Ecclesiastes 12, 13, which says, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And the word whole, of course, means that there's nothing else. It means complete. It's the entire duty of man. I think the reason why I love that verse so much is because it answers the question of what is the meaning of life? Well, the meaning of life is fearing God and keeping his commandments. That's the reason why we exist. It's our only purpose. God put us here and he has the power to take us out. If we decide to know or we decide not to know the true God, we shall never know life. For as Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Those who are never born again, who never get saved, who never have their sins forgiven, are doomed to face the wrath of God. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what nation you're from. He's not the God of the Jews only, but also the God of the Gentiles. Whether they worship him or praise him or believe in him or not, he is the one and only God and commands all the world, all the inhabitants of the world, to fear and to stand in awe of him. Through the fear of God is life. Through the fear of God is wisdom and knowledge. Through the fear of God is right worship. Those who do not fear God, but who choose the way of death, who choose evil rather than good, who choose not to take the Lord seriously and give him his due respect and his due praise, will face doom. I like to point out that God's way is always fulfilled. If it says in Psalm 33, verse 8, I believe it was, "Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him," that may not happen today. That may not happen for everybody alive right now. Of course, we see people in this world who don't fear God, who don't really have the attitude of him that we ought to. But surely one day that the Bible promises, it says, "Every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." What is that? Well, those who are in hell, those who are in the lower parts of the earth, as the Bible calls it, people who are in hell right now. None of them, of course, make themselves bold before God. They've been brought down to the pits of hell. They've been humbled, and they shall one day stand before the throne of God and worship him. And it says also in that same chapter, Philippians chapter 2, "And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Those who do not fear God, who do not fear hell while living upon the earth, surely shall one day fear him and see him for who he is. And they shall bow to him. every single one shall bow to him. Every single one shall confess Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. If somebody does not have the fear of the Lord, they will be brought to fear. They will be brought to anguish. They will be brought to destruction. God said unto the children of Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12 to 15, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. God warns them to fear him. God warns the children of Israel to serve him instead of false gods, because if they turn away from him and they worship other gods, they worship and serve idols rather than the true and living God, he promises that his anger shall be kindled against them and he will destroy them. The wrath of God is on the heathen. Therefore, the heathen should be afraid of the Lord for what's coming unto them. The unbeliever should be in fear of him right now, which has the power to destroy the body and the soul in hell, that they might turn to God in faith and be saved. Now, one of the last calls in the Bible to fear the Lord is contained in the book of Revelation, announced by one of the three angels who is flying through the midst of heaven in Revelation chapter 14. Now, we might call this the last warning before judgment, in Revelation 14, verse 7, where it says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Now, if you're familiar with Revelation, this is prior to the reaping of the harvest of the earth, which is the resurrection of the saints, followed by the beginning of the day of the Lord, in which God's wrath is poured out upon the earth in chapters 15 and 16 in the form of the seven vials. Prior to this hour of his judgment, this angel gives one last warning in the Bible, telling the world to fear God and give glory to him. Those who refuse to do so will surely face the wrath of God directly, and they will be brought to fear, but will not repent. When the day of his wrath comes, it is referred to in the Bible as the day of the Lord. More specifically, in Malachi chapter 4, the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And in Joel 2:31, it is called the great and terrible day of the Lord. Once again, that word terrible means terrifying, and the word dreadful means full of great suffering and fear, meaning that the day of the Lord is a very frightening day, not to us which are saved, but of course to the heathen, to the unsaved, to the sinners of this world who rejected God, to the people who did not fear God enough and his warnings about hell to call upon him. To them, God will force them into fear, and God will make them dread on that day. In that day, the Lord will be feared by all people of this earth, and there will be no more mocking. There will be no more boldness. There will be no more pride against God, but the Lord shall bring the wicked of this world into destruction. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Therefore, when the scriptures speak about the day of the Lord, it is always spoken of as a frightful day. It is always a warning for what is to come. It is always associated with the intense and powerful fear of God Almighty. In the Old Testament, the signs associated with this day of the Lord were the sun and the moon being darkened. As it is written, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. This event is described in Revelation chapter 6, where it says in verse 12 to 17, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So at the time of this sixth seal, prior to the return of Jesus Christ, according to Matthew 24, when the whole world, the heavens and the earth, are shaking, the sun is darkened, the moon is turned into blood, the people of this world, instead of taking a bold stand against God as they've done in the past, what will they do? They will hide in the rocks and in the caves and in the crevices of the caves. Notice that those in positions of high authority are emphasized in this chapter. The kings of the earth and the great men and the and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men. These all shall hide themselves in the mountains when they see these great signs and wonders in the heavens, because they know the great and the dreadful, the great and the terrible day of the Lord has come. And they're so afraid that they would rather have the rocks of the mountains and caves to fall upon them, to crush them, than to face the face of the Lamb of God. They would rather die a gruesome and brutal death in that way than to go through the wrath of God, because they know that that is coming. They're afraid. They're full of the dread of God. Jesus said, speaking of the same event, when the time of the Lord, or time of the day of the Lord is at hand, in Luke chapter 21, verse 25 to 27, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. The nations, according to Jesus, will be distressed. They will be made miserable, afflicted, full of terror when they see these things come to pass. In verse 26, Jesus said that men's hearts shall fail them for fear. The heathen shall suffer heart attacks from how great the fear is that is about to come unto them. They know this is what the Christians said would happen. They know it's too late for us. They know it's time for God's vengeance. We've been torturing and murdering these Christians and mocking and laughing in the face of God and his word. But no longer will there be any laughing. No longer will there be any mocking. No longer will there be any boldness or pride or strength or confidence. Now they know that the same God which said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," is about to appear in the clouds. Who knows how many will fall over dead just from the sight of these wonders, and also from the sight of the Son of Man himself coming in the clouds with power and great glory. For it says also in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Now, what is wailing? It's a shriek, a scream of pain or grief. When they themselves see Jesus Christ descending down from heaven, these high and mighty sinners will scream in terror. While us Christians are raised up to ever be with the Lord, those left behind will all tremble and shout in fear and anguish. And then what? Well, it says in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 16, or verse 6 to 13, describing the day of the Lord, it says, "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one and another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the gold wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger." The passage begins with a statement, "Howl ye." Why? Because the day of the Lord is at hand. When the day of the Lord comes, it is a day in which the wicked shall howl or wail, as it says in Revelation 1:7, because it is the day when destruction comes from the Almighty. And when that day comes, for those which remain upon the earth, those which have not been raptured out, for those who remain to face the wrath of God and the seven trumpets and the seven vials, what does it say about them? Verse 7, "Therefore," meaning for this reason, "that the day of the Lord approaches, shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them." Now, is this some people? Is this just a few people are afraid, but others make themselves bold? Some just don't care. No, according to verse 7, it says, all hands shall be faint. Every man's heart shall melt. It's every person in this world, when the wrath of God is poured out, will be afraid in that day. When they face the power of God and the day of the Lord, when he goes forth to punish the world for their iniquity, the arrogancy of the proud shall cease, and the haughtiness of the terrible will be made low. Now, what does that mean? It means that the people of this earth who are viewed as terrible, as frightening, the people in power, the people in authority, who men are scared of, who exalted themselves, who thought that they were better than God, at the day of the Lord, when they face his judgment, they will be made low. They will be cast down. No longer will men fear each other. No longer will they be prideful and stand up and think to cast others down, for they will all be cast down by the wrath of God. And that day, only God will be feared. Earlier in the book of Isaiah describes a similar matter, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 9 to 21. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fence wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. This passage begins and ends with the same event described in Revelation chapter 6, of the fact that the people of this earth, regardless of how prideful and haughty that they are, will hide in the rocks and the clefts of the rocks because they fear the Lord when he arises to shake terribly the earth, as it says. Because they fear the day of the Lord, they know what is about to come. Their own pride and arrogance will be cast down. The Lord alone will be exalted, as it says, when all the world, even the vilest of sinners and heathen upon this earth, fear God. So what is the fear of the Lord? When God commands all to fear him, those who do not fear him now will either fear him on the day of the Lord or fear him when they are cast into hell. Those who fear him now will be blessed, and by their fear of God, they depart from evil. But those who do not fear God are considered wicked and disobedient and without wisdom and understanding. The wisest thing that we can ever do is fear the Lord. The phobia or fear of God ought to be called not just theophobia, which I guess would be maybe the proper term, but I would just call it common sense. There's no reason not to fear the Lord, and there is plenty of reason to do so. Now, as I said earlier in this video, this is mainly talking about carnal Christians who still need to grow and who still need to learn how to obey the Lord, as well as to the unsaved. But there's another scripture which needs to be looked at, which touches on the subject of fear, and that's 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 to 18. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, I want to put emphasis on the word perfect in this passage here. Perfect love is that which casts out fear. It's not just love in general, but perfect, complete love. But in the very next chapter in 1 John chapter 5, just a few verses after this, in verse 3, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." See, there's departing from iniquity and obeying God through fear of him, which we saw in several examples of scriptures. That is the natural way that man would serve him, because we are to serve him. Regardless of whether or not we have grown, we still need to obey him as Christians. But from the perspective of somebody who is in the Spirit, who walks in the Spirit, who puts off the flesh day by day, their obedience unto the Lord is not through fear. They don't fear, but they are obeying God out of love for him. Okay? That is the goal that we as Christians ought to work toward, because when we walk in the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:16, we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And therefore, anybody who is walking in the Spirit is not breaking the commandments of God, but are keeping them, which is defined as the love of God. So if we by nature, through the love of God, which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, as it says in Romans chapter 5, then we are no longer walking in the fear of judgment from the Lord, if we are just doing what he expects us to do by walking in the Spirit. But we are simply doing those things which please him because he is our Father, and we want to obey him out of love. But for the newborn Christians, for the babes in Christ, who do not know much of God's word, who don't know how to walk after the Spirit, they still ought to obey God anyway, obviously, but out of fear instead, as all the world is called to do. So the subject of the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, is very important in the scriptures. There's plenty of scriptures which talk about this, even a lot of verses which I haven't touched on in this video. Just look up on a concordance, just fear, and see how many uses of the word show us how we are only supposed to fear God. So this subject should not be denied or ignored, as the Lord God Almighty is definitely one to be feared, and we are to serve him with fear and trembling. Well, I thought this video would be longer, 30 minutes. Okay. Well, thank you everybody for watching. It looks like I have a few comments here. Fear of God versus spirit of fear. Being afraid of God, being afraid that he can kill you or whatever randomly in a moment. It's terrifying, and I have random panic attacks and stuff. I don't want to be smited like Ananias and Sapphira. Does God really refuse to save, protect anyone? Well, the questions about he can kill you or whatever randomly at any moment. See, that's kind of the subject of the latter part of the video where in 1 John chapter 4, it talks about how if we love God, then therefore that means we are obeying him and we don't have any fear. Because if we are walking in the Spirit, then we are in the love of God, because the fruit of this, one of the fruits of the Spirit is love, according to Galatians chapter 5, and we wouldn't fear that he would kill us. So if we're doing what he wants us to do by walking in the Spirit, then there wouldn't be that fear of God casting us down and just smiting us at any moment, like with Ananias and Sapphira. So I said also at the beginning of this video that I was going to say why I didn't make this video yesterday and decided to do it on Thursday. Because if you haven't noticed, for the last few months, I pretty much all the videos which I've done that have been like videos like this, where it's not in the series that I've been doing, have been on Tuesday or Wednesday, because Monday and Thursday are reserved for the basic doctrines of the scriptures series. And then usually I have Friday and Saturday reserved for the Gospel of John study. And then Sunday, I don't really make a video at all because I go to church. So usually it's just Tuesday and Wednesday is when I make videos. And yesterday I had some problems with, I've been having problems recently. I've been having some chest pains. And so in the morning I went to the hospital because just in case I might be having a heart attack or something. And I was fine. Apparently I was just, overreacting or, well, okay, let me back up. See, usually I don't get that much sleep, because I like to get up early and to work on things like this, work on scripts for my videos and read and things like that and study. And so usually I only sleep for like 4 or 5, 6 hours. And the only way I get through the day is by drinking coffee. So I've, for the last few months, I've been drinking a lot of coffee, consuming a lot of caffeine, but apparently that's had a negative effect on my body, and it's caused my heartbeat to be unusually fast and also irregular in its pattern. And so the doctor that I went to on Monday, I went to the doctor's office on Monday to check that out. They advised that I stop using caffeine, which I have done. And as a result of the caffeine withdrawal, if you know anything about caffeine withdrawal and the symptoms of that, some of the symptoms kind of mimic the additional symptoms of a heart attack, plus the chest pains that I was already having. So I went to the hospital yesterday morning, and they did some tests on me. They drew blood from my arm and stuff, and they did an EKG and an X-ray, and they found that I was perfectly fine. So I basically spent 4 hours in the emergency room, and then by the time I got out, because I didn't sleep at all from Tuesday to Wednesday night, I basically just slept most of yesterday. So that's why I didn't do a video, because I was sleeping, and then I went to go to the cardiologist, which I already had an appointment for that. So that's why I didn't make a video yesterday. That's why I'm making it today. So thank you everybody for watching, and that's it for this video, and goodbye. God bless you.